Oh, I've made Doctor Who washcloths for a gift exchange I did on the internet the other day. So they're all like little TARDIS and Daleks. Pretty
Gonna
fun.
wash yourself with the TARDIS. Now, does a TARDIS washcloth hold a lot more water than one would think that it would probably hold?
Obviously. What are you thinking? Of course
Buckets.
it does.
And the Daleks, of course.
Exfoliate.
Welcome to Nerd Burger. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are, episode 10.
Episode 10, double digits.
Sweet.
And because we're in double digits, as a special guest, as a special treat, we have double guests.
Oh, look at that. Sharing a microphone.
That was all planned.
Really?
No, oh. Not at all. I sent a recording windows out to a bunch of people, and this is the one they picked.
Because I wouldn't put it past you.
No, yeah, I don't put that much effort. You're the one who puts effort into this thing. As we were discussing earlier.
Only when I have to.
You have standards.
So yeah, two guests, one microphone.
They'll be sitting really close together.
Good thing they're married.
Here they are, Dave and Emily. Dave's starting to rock out.
It's Mr. Roboto, you have to.
It's kind of contractually obligated.
Funny story about that.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, if you really want, I'm from Michigan originally, and we had a tradition up in my hometown that when any of our friends got married at some point during the reception, we'd all get together and do like a line dance choreography along to Mr. Roboto. We had
that
dance
was
moves
never
and everything.
Never planned. We just were awesome like that.
Line dance. Were you doing the robot?
Oh, no. We'd actually mime out the lyrics of the song. So, you know, like, I got a secret. You'd hold your hand up to show you had the secret. And you'd make a mask out of your hands to cover your eyes.
Good
and
pantomime song. There.
Oh, yeah, thank
for
you.
For the podcast. We appreciate that. We were making fun of ourselves for pantomime.
This is high-quality pantomime just for the radio.
Do I need to turn the webcam on?
Yeah, the non-existent webcam.
Ghosts.
We have ghosts now?
Yeah.
So, occasionally the wife's here. We have a guest, generally. There's a dog running around. And now you've got ghosts.
I don't have a spooky noise.
That's the best I got.
That's the best you got. Mike likes his sound effects.
That's what she said.
What?
Just getting it out of the way early.
Jeez. All right. I wanted to bring something up that we did initially bring up. And so if anybody out there who listened to the crappy audio portion of last week's episode.
More than a few people clicked through to that page on the website.
Actually clicked
on it. Oh, yes.
We told them that, oh, there's horrible. You can't even make things out. And they still checked it
out.
Half
a dozen, I believe.
Jeez.
Not counting. Wait, no, that is counting me. So
it's, counting me, too, because I wanted to see what it really sounded like.
Four people.
So four people, actually. Wow. I wanted to bring up something a few episodes ago. I don't know if you guys heard this episode or not.
Sorry.
Amazon has been doing original content, like they're making TV shows.
I heard that they had a series plot. Oh my gosh, the pilot episodes of a bunch of different shows.
Yeah, and you could go on and vote on which ones were best and potential.
Did any of them get any votes?
I don't know what happened to a lot of them, but the one that I had the most interest in was they made a TV series of Zombieland, the movie.
I knew a guy that worked on the makeup effects on that.
On the movie or the TV?
Both.
Okay, well, he's got to go find a job because the TV series isn't happening.
I know.
I informed everybody on my little review of how terrible the TV series was, and apparently the voters have spoken. So I'm bringing this up wholly for self-serving reasons. That's the reason I brought it up the first time, but then it got lost to bad audio, so I'm doing it again.
So you feel vindicated that it's not happening?
Absolutely. The couple lines that went along with it was there was... Chris Nashawati said, there are a few yucks and also a pleasantly high body count, but the actors feel like bargain basement knockoffs of Harrelson et al. You feel like you're watching a smudged Xerox of what was a pretty hilarious movie. And that's one of the things I pointed out, was that just the characters just didn't bring it. didn't do it for me. They just did as written and as acted. The creator said, "I'll never understand the vehement hate the pilot received from the diehard Zombieland fans. You guys successfully hated it out of existence." Ooh. Sorry, guy.
The internet does like to successfully hate things.
It's true. It happens all the time. So I feel better about myself for that anyway.
I successfully hate myself every day.
I successfully hate you every day as well.
Is it time to talk about the tacos on your screen, by the way?
The what?
That needs context.
Yeah.
I was looking at pictures of tacos.
When?
Just now.
Why were you looking at pictures of tacos? Okay, first of all, when you say tacos.
Actual.
Food.
Food. Tacos.
Mexican. Okay.
Well.
Well, it could have been a euphemism for other things that you find on the internet.
Mexican.
Right. Quote, quote.
Dick fingers. But yeah.
Why were you looking at. Oh, okay. I got you. So you got something you want to talk about.
Yeah. News.
Okay. News items. Ooh, fun.
Gotta love the news stinger.
We're gonna learn terms today because Emily actually works in radio.
Oh, that's right.
I just call it an intro.
That was a stinger.
I'll have to change my category to stinger.
Okay, so Dateline, Southern California.
Now read it like a 50s newsreel guy.
Fast talking 50s newsreel.
Hey.
Today's episode is gonna be an improv show. We're gonna start throwing ideas out at people. You gotta do it like. And the Germans are kind
of... Okay, yeah, that's what that I guy. Thought. Okay. Yeah. Dateline, Southern California. Taco Bell is testing a waffle taco at least one Southern Californian location as it prepares to amp up its rollout of breakfast.
What?
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Be sure to eat it to help us defeat the nips. Oh. Whoa. Sorry. Nips?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a derogatory term for the Japanese during that era.
Oh. Well, like, you just nerd-burgered me.
Yeah. I learned you something.
So it doesn't mean nipples. Well,
not well, in this context.
It means that too, but I apologize in advance. And now, well, after the fact for this, in advance for, because some of our, I was going to go krauts, but then I thought we're going to be talking about Japan later. And so I decided,
I
would go ahead and insult.
Thematically insult.
Yeah. Jeez.
I'm also of German descent, so that wouldn't have worked either.
Well, so am I. So I guess I should have stuck with krauts because then I could do the whole, well, I'm German.
Yeah.
So I can say it. I can use that word. We're taking it back or whatever. Anyway, so.
Like porch monkey?
Oh,
taking it back. Yeah.
Taking it back. Randall Graves.
Is anyone here Japanese?
No.
No.
How are we going to do that then?
Well, I already did it.
It's so over. Let's move on.
But we were doing a bit from the 50s or the 40s, from the mid 40s.
Well, in that case, who a company official declined to reveal detail about the potential product, saying it is not ready for market wide test yet, but that is another example of ongoing menu innovation.
Thank you for joining us for the last episode of Nerdburger.
We made it to double digits.
Ding.
Sorry. No, anyway, so breakfast at Taco Bell. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've had all sorts of weird things for breakfast. I don't suppose a taco or a burrito is any worse than having cold pizza or leftover pasta or whatever you might have.
Fans describe, I'm reading now from the article, fans describe it as sausage and scrambled eggs in a waffle folded over like a taco and served with a packet of syrup.
Oh.
This makes me think of an old Saturday Night Live sketch, which was the Taco Hut where they had... a taco deep fried and wrapped in a giant pancake and crepes and surrounded by a pizza. And then like the whole thing is wrapped in a burrito.
I remember this.
And then you get like a giant tote bag and then they all cover it in salsa or something to that effect. It was horrifying.
And then you stuff it inside of a cow inside of a dinosaur.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, so that was the reason I had pictures of it on.
Okay.
Because so I
had pictures of the waffle taco.
Well, they describe it as a waffle folded over like a taco. And I'm picturing them, like the Taco Bell food scientists in their lab going, well,
you
we
really
got
think
this
highly of Taco Bell.
We got this.
We've ripped on Taco Bell recently.
we've got this Belgian waffle. Hey, what if we made a taco out of it? Let's just fold it in half and oh shit, that one broke. Okay, give me another one, and then you know,
give me a soft one right off the top. The
so I'm waffle thinking, maker. Right? I'm thinking it's got to be like molded into a U shape.
Into
so
that.
That's why I looked up.
The so thing. Like a waffle cone,
but taco shaped.
But taco shaped, like a Choco taco.
Correct.
Don't leave us hanging. Is that actually the case?
That is actually the case.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
Although the there are promotional pictures that are clearly from Taco Bell that look really good. Well, as good as it can.
You mean because they're plastic food?
Yeah. Photoshop. And then there are the Twitter and Facebook photos from people in Southern California who have actually gotten this thing and taken a picture of it. Mm. And those don't look as good. And the promotional photos, and we're going to do pantomime again because it's radio.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Word so, pictures.
I'm making a perfect U with both of my hands. And that's what the Taco Bell photos look like.
Right.
The Twitter photos look like this.
Where they're splayed open.
Splayed open at like about 95 degrees.
Right. Like you put the ingredients into the taco and then you took the photo 20 seconds later.
It looks like it was.
After it got warm and started to get soggy. It was and
creased in a brake metal machine.
That's an architecture thing.
Oh, well.
Construction. Look it up.
Yeah.
So you're gonna go get one when they're available?
Of course. Only if they put bacon in it, though.
Eventually, they'll offer bacon as well as sausage. I mean, that's how things go.
It's only a matter of time before there will be bacon in the waffle taco.
There are actually food trucks in Atlanta. Bacon crust. There are food trucks in Atlanta that have bacon maple infused waffles. I've been to one. I haven't tasted it, but I have seen it.
I've had that in Pigeon Forge. Mm. Where they have waffles and pancakes everywhere.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever been there.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm not sure if I had both waffles and pancakes with both bacon and sausage infused in them. But McDonald's has the McGriddle.
Oh, that's right.
Which is at least maple syrup infused pancake bun.
I can't eat those. They're kind of scary.
Oh, they're so good.
I feel like I need to take a shower after I eat that. But then again, I feel that way about most of McDonald's foods. Just ugh.
McDonald's, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast.
Well, obviously Taco Bell isn't going to take you up on it. So
or Facebook.
I don't think we're going to get sponsored by anybody after what we've ripped on in the first 10 episodes.
But no. Yeah, so
we have to start talking about things we like.
It's a U-shaped or right. V-shaped, depending on
right.
the quality. Taco shaped kind of U-formed. It's quite thick. It's thicker than I would have expected it to be. You know, it looks like it's about like Eggo waffle thickness.
Like the waffle itself is.
Yeah. Like it's got some heft to it.
So if there's any significant amount of.
It'll absorb some syrup.
Toppings and things in there.
Well, that's the thing. There aren't that many toppings.
Oh, that's too bad. Because then it could be, you know, one of those things that you have to unhinge your jaw in order to actually be able to open your mouth wide enough to eat it. You have to be Scooby-Doo with his sandwich.
Or have lizard DNA.
A shark.
Reptile. No, so it's you know, a taco-shaped mm-hmm. waffle, and then there's a taco-shaped round sausage patty that's bent in there. And then inside that, they fill it with what looks like scrambled eggs.
With what looks like scrambled eggs.
Correct.
We're just speculating on that for.
Well, I don't assume anything is as presented or described by the...
Now, I imagine
the company selling it.
Dave, you haven't had much to
say
here.
When it comes to fast food.
This sounds absolutely horrifying to you, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Do you like to eat healthy?
I like to eat food. I can't claim that Taco Bell offers that.
Oh, boy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. We have no proof.
Doesn't stop me from eating it.
Yeah, I'm sure...
That article about
they how won't they, have a hard time selling it
about how they bleach the meat or whatever.
Oh my god!
For the McRib stopped me from eating the McRib, but I'll probably start up again next year when it comes back.
It'd be that much worse without the bleach.
I know. I'm definitely gonna try the Burger King version of the McRib. Did we talk about that on this?
No.
Are you sure?
We talked about the McRib,
not the Burger King version of the McRib.
Not sure.
Anyway.
Don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of our 9 previous episodes.
Why not?
Plus all the test episode recording that we did.
Plus all the throwaway episodes.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my news item.
Okay.
Looking forward to a Taco Bell. Bring it on over here.
Woohoo. I've got something that I have you guys heard of Matthew? Guest number one, Matthew.
Yes.
Introduced me to Epic Rap Battles of History.
Epic Rap Battles of History.
Okay, so somebody's heard of them. Somebody knows about this, yeah. Dave, yes?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so this is new for
Mike. I'm the only one.
Okay, so maybe only you get to vote. Because I have three of them queued up if we can listen to. And I've got it queued past the opening. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the opening stuff where the guy goes, Epic Rap Battles of History.
So we've already got that out of the way.
And then he introduces the two people and it's blah, blah, blah versus blah, blah, blah. And he says it like that. It's really hard to understand. The rap battles themselves are only like a couple minutes long. They are, and some of them are kind of, I went through and found ones that I thought would actually sound okay for us to play.
Yeah.
Because some of them, they're hard to understand if you're not watching the person and seeing the lips move, and because their characters are talking in accents and things.
Okay.
So you've got three choices of Epic Rap Battles of History.
Epic and sometimes.
And keep in mind that, you know, sometimes there's fictional characters involved and there's mythological characters and all this. So, Mike, would you like to listen to Genghis Khan versus the Easter Bunny?
It's new to me.
Rap battle. Mr. Rogers versus Mr. T.
Jeez.
Or Moses versus Santa Claus.
What were the first two again? Genghis Khan and
versus the Easter Bunny. Mr. T versus Mr. Rogers.
Mr. T and Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
So I've got it queued.
That was the voting?
Yes.
Okay.
You vote because they've heard some of these before.
But none of these three, I don't think.
Okay. Well, this will be new for you. Sweet. So can you be prepped to mute the three mics when we play it? Because if we start talking and laughing over it, it's going to kill it because it's already a little hard to listen to.
A fool who tries to step the club away. Call me B.A. Biceps because I crush the whole game. Bring Tuesday, Friday, and Lil Trolley to train. And watch me dip their ass in gold and wear them like my neck chain, sucker. I choke you with your own sweater sleeves. You couldn't even beat me in the land of make-believe. I will Mr. T bag you in the closest cemetery. Nobody's gonna miss you because all your friends imaginary.
Hi there, neighbor. I hope you don't mind if I change my shoes. Stop a rockin' sneakers till this battle's over. So I don't get blood from your ugly face on my panty loafers. I like you just the way you are, one in a million. But it looks like the barber gave your head a Brazilian. I pity your neck, Mr. Gold Chains, you got too many. The only gold I keep is on the shelf in Miami. I teach a whole world full of children, I can tell. You call yourself T, cause you're too dumb to spell.
Who you call a dumb fool? Mr. T only needs one letter. Hello? It's for you. Bill Cosby, what's your sweater? You're a 40-year-old virgin in a dumpy-ass house. I get Hannibal, Murdoch, Hand-Face to stomp you out. The only pussycat you've ever seen is on Henrietta, sucker. And your Mr. McFeely delivers a lot more than letters. So before you come to battle with your PBS crap, how about I call up CPS about them kids on your lap, fool?
Watch what you say. Kids love me more than lunch. I'm not the one with my face on some whack-ass Captain Crunch. When my plane comes together, you won't even see it coming. I'll chop you into four black dudes and I'll remake Cool Runnings. I'll say this once, Lawrence. I hope it's understood. Get right back in your van. Get the fuck out of my neighborhood.
Hey, yeah!
Wow.
And now keep in mind, this is a video. So there's a dude dressed up like Mr. T and a guy dressed up like Mr. Rogers.
Awesome.
They're spectacular.
And this has been a thing now for how long?
They've got a bunch of episodes.
Oh, yeah. Einstein versus Stephen Hawking is my favorite.
I like Doc Brown versus the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Ooh, which Doctor?
10.
Okay.
And 5.
Oh, and 5.
And it's really solid production. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
These are really well done videos, too. They spent some money on making these people look like the actual characters and, you know, backgrounds, and then you can vote for who wins the rap battle. And they're only like 3 minutes long each total.
So is this a running competition? Like they have a bracket and people have been voting down to a,
don't think so. I don't think so.
A championship or
I think it's just like, you know, every so often they put a new one up there and they vote on it. I didn't dig into the website far enough to see if there was any of that kind of stuff going on, but there's a bunch of them. Matthew swore by them. And so he mentioned it enough times this week that I checked it out.
This is something he watches with his children?
I don't know about that.
It's family time, kids. Let's gather around the computer.
Let's talk about how Mr. T is going to shove something up Mr. Mr. Rogers' ass.
I liked the tobogganing reference.
I'm going to chop you up into four dudes and remake Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
So check it out, everybody. We'll link to it on the website. Now to get onto the meat of the episode.
He says, ironically.
After talking about Taco Bell.
Dave and Emily, you guys went to Japan how many times now?
Twice now, actually.
And you're planning to go again?
I was going to go this year, but that's not going to happen right away. Actually, a funny story, that.
Okay.
You have to just keep talking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If it's a funny story, you can't just stop.
Noted. All right. So, let's see. As I said earlier in the episode, we're both from Michigan originally. So, right about here.
Nice pantomime.
Thank you.
We can do that, too.
No, seriously, though, pretty close to the Canadian border. As I like to call it, generic America. Anyway, growing up, I went to Canada a few times, and one of the more interesting trips, actually, was just as I was entering junior college. I had some friends that were still in high school, and I came home from class one day, and they're like, oh, hey, buddy of mine that I've been talking to on IRC, if anybody listening actually knows what IRC is, no? Old internet chat?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
I've heard of it.
Look it up, kids.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, you know, we're a buddy of mine from IRC. He's in Canada, and he wants to drive around and meet a bunch of people that he's been talking to online. I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. He's like, so yeah, we're going to go to Windsor, and you can pick him up. I'm like, all right, cool. So drive over to Canada, pick him up, drive back to the U.S., and then he drop him off at a bus station, and he drives around the country. A few years later, I'm talking to my friend about that guy. I'm like, whatever happened to that dude? And I find out this guy wasn't even like 16 at the time, and I smuggled him into the country. So
you're a human trafficker.
Yeah. Fortunately, it was pre-9/11, so you know they didn't really check the border too closely back then. But
jeez. Oh,
but so that was my only trip outside of the country for pretty much my whole life. And so at one point I'm like, you know what, I'm in my mid-30s, I really haven't left the country, you know, Canada's generic America and all. And so I'm like, you know, I might as well do this right and pick some place on the literal opposite side of the planet, and kind of like Japan anyway. So we thought we'd give it a shot, and that's what we did. Interesting story about that.
Yes, keep going.
So it was a couple of years ago, and it was about January, and I'm thinking, yeah, let's do that. Let's go to Japan. And so we get the tickets, we get the hotels, we get everything planned out in great detail. March 11 rolls around, and I don't know if any of you guys remember, but Japan pretty much almost got rocked into the ocean.
Right.
And they had that power plant explosion, and everybody's like, well, you can't go to Japan now. You can't go to Japan now. You're going to die. You're going to come back glowing green. And, you know, Japanese people don't want you there. And there was all this, will we go, won't we go kind of thing. But fortunately, I have a friend that works in the nuclear industry. And so I was kind of like, you're a consultant for the nuclear industry. Is it safe over there? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. It'll be fine.
Well, you know, that's what a person working in the nuclear industry would say.
He's a good friend of mine. He wouldn't lie to me.
Yeah.
You get more radiation from the plane ride going over there than you would have while you were there, unless you went into the actual little...
According to the American Nuclear Regulatory Commission studies that he showed me, that airplanes are much less safe than standing inside of a nuclear reactor.
And this is Fukushima we're talking about?
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
No. So, anyway. No, but seriously.
Do I have to bleep that?
Jeez, you're inconsistent with bleeping American or English. I don't know. You decide.
Go ahead.
Is it supposed to be family friendly?
We try to keep it PG-13. We bleep things here and there.
Well, motherfucker, I was going to tell everything. Anyway, so long story short, yeah, he said, yeah, it's fine, but I'd be really worried about, you know, these people, you know, they just got rocked by this quake. Their pants are probably down. Leave them alone. Give them some time to recover and rebuild. And I talk to a friend of mine who's like really into Japan even more than me. And, you know, she's got lots of friends over there. She writes for like anime magazines and things like that. So she knows the country. She knows the people and all that. And I say, what's it like over that? Is the culture okay with us coming over? And she's like, oh, yeah, they'll need the tourist dollars because people aren't going to be going over there. But she's like, I'd stay away from the radiation, though. That's the thing I'd be concerned about. So, but I figured each expert in their field said it was safe on what they were about. So ultimately, we went to Japan. And it was an incredible experience. We were the only white people there. It was like everybody else ran away. So, you know, our experience was that, like, wow, the Japanese people are the most polite people on the planet. And after going back a second time, we realized, yeah, they are pretty close to polite as people, you know, say that they'll be. But what it really boiled down to is they were just glad to have some white people around. You know, they really appreciated it at the time. So
that we didn't abandon them and totally, you know, abandon our travel plans, that we actually were there and, you know, pouring money into their economy.
Sure.
And pouring money you will do. 2-week trip to Japan cost about as much as a new car, it turns out. So you may have noticed I'm still driving that beater around, because every year it's like, do I buy the new car or do I go back to Japan for 2 or 3 weeks? So,
wow.
We choose Japan.
Apparently. As long as the car hangs in there. When the car craps out, it'd be like, all right, we got to skip the trip to Japan one time.
It's true.
Get a car. Now, you've been, one of the questions I was going to ask was, what was the most surprising thing you found? But I guess you already answered that with the fact that they were incredibly polite. And
oh, I don't think that even comes close to being the most surprising thing.
Okay, well, what's some of the really surprising? I mean, my knowledge of Japan is from like TV shows and movies. So it ranges from cliche stuff from 1943 newsreels about those pesky, every stereotype there, and then how some of those have been perpetuated, and, you know, kung fu movies and whatever else.
Oh, yeah. In answer to your question, what was the question?
It's the most surprising.
Surprising things about Japan in general.
All right, so
that the stereotypes and what people might actually pick up from just watching a TV or movie.
And that's actually a great observation. One of the things I quickly learned about Japan is the large, large misperception that we have about Japanese people. I mean, the number one thing that the news and media loves to talk about when it comes to Japan is, look how crazy and zany Japan is. These guys are nuts, you know.
Sure. Do they have, everywhere you go, you find vending machines with
panties and
worn, unwashed panties in them for dispensation.
Those are illegal now. We actually did, but only during the second trip, and only in specialty shops that we won't mention about in great detail.
So not on the street.
And actually, those vending machines are illegal. Okay. So, but they find ways of skirting around the laws, like, you know, they do it.
Well, everybody.
Yeah. So.
That
actually would be one of the more surprising ones when we
as wacky.
Yeah, when we realize that they're actually just normal people living their lives. I mean, their culture is different, so there are some things that might seem a little strange to us here or there. But for the most part, they're human beings, just like we are, and they live their lives like we do. For the most part, they live their lives like we do. There are definitely some oddballs there. But, I mean, you look at the U.S., and there are a lot of oddballs over here. So you go to Japan.
No.
I know. Like, I have quite a few Japanese pen pals and things like that. So, you know, I help correct their English and they'll help correct my Japanese and things like that. But we talk about, you know, things just besides language and whatnot. And it's just interesting seeing some of the misperceptions that they have about us. For example, there's one guy who's learning English and he's like, oh, I'd love to come to America, but I'm so scared. I'm like, well, what are you scared of? Guns.
Yeah, everybody has a gun.
Yeah, and just like... And
Mike, do you have a gun?
Not yet.
Okay. Emily's packing.
Well, see, you should really tell people about that if you're going to bring a gun into their home.
I would if I had one. Sorry.
So there's a perception that we're just all gun-toting.
Cheeseburger-eating, yeah. So, although I suppose by the name of this podcast, there may be some truth in that fiction. for the most part, they're actually very normal. But there are some things that, you know, do help back up that perception. Like, for example, a lot of people see Japan as being a place where there are a lot of an obsession with cuteness and things like that.
Sure.
And there's definitely a high prevalence of cute things in Japan.
Well, there's a certain aesthetic.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just culturally accepted.
And for like mascots are huge in Japan. Like the police department has a mascot that's this cute little guy. Yeah, and he looks very similar.
Well,
we've
got McGruff the crime dog, I suppose.
Does McGruff look like a teddy bear version of the Reddit logo is the question.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly. McGruff looks like a crime dog.
Yeah.
This tiny little 2-inch fluffy looking thing is obviously not out there to really discourage crime so much as to kind of like, please don't do this.
Oh, yes. The politeness is just so, it's wonderfully lovely. I know we kind of briefly touched on that. But
well, coming in, you know, going there as an American where, I mean, I've known you guys for a while, and you're not rude people by any means, but, you know, there's a certain, I don't know, rudeness to, at least to the perception of Americans,
Oh, well, yeah, and we come off as being a little more gruff even when we're being polite. So.
You know, rude and the prevalence of, you know, the fact that the internet is there and you can say whatever you want and offend who, you know, the anonymous voice that has not helped our situation where everybody can just say what they want and be a-holes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, and fast forward to the end of our first trip, and there was culture shock, actually, more culture shock coming back to America than going to Japan. And
all of a sudden, you were dealing with a-holes.
Yeah, exactly. We got on, we stopped off at O'Hare on the way, you know, transferring back to Atlanta.
Oh, you stopped in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're
Do
on
you
the,
have a brat? No. Some sausage?
And we step on to one of the trains, and it's full of Japanese people getting off the plane with us. And then this really big, loud American just bursts onto the train. He's pushing people aside. He's on his cell phone. He's talking loud. And I probably would not have noticed it before Japan, where, you know, it's like five times the people in a smaller train.
Because you just see that person all the time. But now that you're...
Yeah,
and then you've spent 3 weeks not ever having to deal with that guy.
Yeah, exactly. And all the Japanese people are looking around going, what's going on? I can't believe it's like a bull in a china shop. And Emily and I realized we're kind of reacting the same way. And it took about a week to get... It took longer to get over that than the jet lag, actually. It was just how, even when people are polite here, there's just a certain undertone of...
I'm going to get my way. Yeah, and you're just going to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm just doing my job. I'm going to cut in line. You know, it's just... So yeah, actually coming back to Japan the second time, it was almost like we were homesick, you know, it was like we felt like we were home again.
Would you ever consider actually living there?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
I would move there 2 weeks ago if someone offered me a dishwashing job.
Oh, damn. Well, I'm glad we got you on the podcast at least once here before you go running off to Japan.
It's not so easy to live there, though. They are like we are with immigration, maybe even a little stricter, except they're surrounded completely by water, so they actually have a chance of enforcing it.
Sure. And I suppose, yeah, I mean, the perception a lot of times of Japan is that it's like, it's so dense in population that they have to be a little touchier about, you know, America still has a lot of wide open spaces.
I think Japan does too. We didn't really get out into the countryside quite as much, but we have heard that there's a lot of
the
really old villages and stuff like that where things are much more spread out. And we did go to a couple of other cities besides Tokyo. But there's definitely more of the, you know, the population is condensed in Tokyo and the bigger cities, but then, you know, really spread out once you get into the countryside, kind of like it is here.
Yeah, I mean, it's twice the size of Britain. So, I mean, it's not a small island.
And right. What other cities did you go to?
Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka.
We went to Hiroshima for the day, our second trip.
And, that was rough.
It was rough. Oh, my goodness.
We were going to stay longer, but one afternoon is all you could really do after seeing the museum.
Well, one thing to note here is what's the population of the U.S.?
Who knows? 300 million.
300 million, roughly. Japan's almost 128 million on that little tiny set of islands. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's probably, you know, spread wide open spaces, but nowhere near the amount for the people
that
the U.S. has. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that their immigration laws are
interesting
really
fact
tight.
About that.
Stop doing that.
Sorry. If I keep doing it, it'll come around again. It'll be funny.
Whatever. Right.
We'll decide whether or not it's funny.
The only reason I know the rough population of the U.S. is because there's actually a fish called the mambo, or we call it the sunfish, but that's what they call it in Japanese. And they lay about that many eggs in one, I guess you call it clutch or whatever.
Right.
And so sometimes they'll refer to it as the American fish because it lays eggs roughly equal to the population of the U.S.
Now it'd be interesting to see if that fish evolves as the population of the United States goes up. Maybe they'll introduce more predators for the fish so that the fish will be forced to lay more eggs in order to have more survive as our population goes up.
That's a lot of caviar. Or roe for your sushi. Yep. Did you eat sushi when you were there?
The second time, yes.
But not the first time?
Well, I'm what they call a lacto-ovo vegetarian. So... I know, I'm a nerd burger. It's offensive to you guys, sorry.
No, I'm just, okay, so you don't...
I eat...
Eat anything from cow or chicken?
No, I eat eggs and dairy, but that's really the only animal products I tend to eat.
Okay.
I'll do honey, and I ate a cricket on my birthday this year, but that's a different story.
Was it chocolate covered, at least?
You know, everyone asks me that, and I wish, because I love chocolate, but no, it was actually bacon and cheese covered, but I checked, it wasn't real bacon, so I didn't break my vegetarianism.
Jeez.
We're off topic now, aren't we?
You didn't break the vegetarianism with the bacon, but you ate a cricket.
So
I have a pact with insects, actually. Yes. The rule is that if they stay away from me, they continue living. And that's our treaty. If they violate that treaty, they do not continue living. And so I have no problem ending their lives, and I suppose if I have to, consuming them to make a point to the others.
But so, cows have stayed away from him, so he's stayed away from them.
Did you have one cricket who was alive watch you eat that cricket so that it could report back to the cricket community? Because otherwise, you're not sending anybody a message.
You're not sending the message.
That's true. Next year.
But so, yeah, we didn't eat sushi the first time while we were in Japan because we didn't find any vegetarian sushi except for like one place that was like extremely outrageously expensive. So we decided to pass it up and go have pancakes.
But yeah, actually, vegetarians owe a lot to the Japanese from a culinary point of view, because they've introduced things like, tofu and what's that seaweed called?
Agar-agar.
And lots of other things. And they have a lot of dishes that can easily be prepared vegetarian. So, you know, I owe them a lot, but they themselves actually eat a lot of fish, because if there are vegetarians in Japan, which there aren't very many, relatively speaking, they tend to be more of the Buddhist type of vegetarianism, even if they're not Buddhists themselves. And Buddhist vegetarian does eat fish. They do eat fish. So sure. There's seafood and even in their snacks.
They are surrounded by water on
sides. It's a great source of food. So it's very difficult to eat in Japan.
Well, here's a question, though, with the sushi. Is the sushi... I asked this, let me preface this. If you go to Mexico and have food in Mexico, it's not like the Mexican food that you get at most Mexican food restaurants in the United States. Mm-hmm. If you go to, you can go to other Italian places. To find food that is really like an Italian meal, there aren't a lot of restaurants that serve that. They serve sort of, there's always kind of the Americanized mm-hmm. version of that. Is the sushi that we have really like Japanese sushi?
Interesting question about that. I'm going to answer your question with a different answer, and then I'll get back to that. One of the things I discovered in Japan is they have a respect for food similarly to what the French have as a respect for food. So they'll often, Japanese chefs will go to France for training and things like that, like the high-tier ones. So they have a very parallel thinking, and so they respect each other's chefs a lot. And so while I was in Japan, I actually had Italian food that was more authentic than any Italian food I'd had from authentic Italian restaurants. And same with Indian. You go to an Indian restaurant where there's actual Indian people from India preparing traditional Indian food that Indians will eat who live in America, and it doesn't taste as good or as authentic as what I was finding in Japan. So they have a big, strong love of food and things like that. So back to your question, even though I was answering a completely unrelated question. Yeah, American sushi is close enough. We do an okay job. The best American sushi I've had is... I'd say about 70% as good as the Japanese sushi I've had, which I think is pretty close to hitting the mark compared to what else you'll see.
And is that someplace around here that we can go to?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I have sushi places that I like.
Yeah. Well, that deliver to your place.
Well, no, I go. There's no places that deliver right now. That one place doesn't deliver anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
They delivered for a 4-month window, and all of a sudden they weren't delivering anymore. Yeah. But what you gonna do?
But at the same time, Roussan's or Dollar Sushi and things like that, it's close enough of an experience unless you're a snob. So,
okay,
moving on. So one thing I did want to mention to you, I thought would be kind of one of the more interesting places that we visited in Japan is actually in Tokyo. It's a place called Akihabara. It's also known as Akiba for short. They love to abbreviate everything in Japan. And Akihabara was originally known as Electric Town. It's where a lot of the computer nerds and geeks would go to get, electronics and equipment and hang out and things like that. So I figured, I could appreciate something like that, being a computer nerd myself. So our very first morning there, we were like, where do we want to go? And I'm like, well, it seems like I remembered a place, Akihabara or something like that. I couldn't even really remember it too well. I don't plan out vacations. I just buy the ticket, get the hotel, and see what's there.
And hope that you don't end up in the middle of a horror movie because you haven't planned out your vacation.
Exactly.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I like to live by the seat of my pants. And so sometimes you miss out on stuff, but sometimes you see some really cool things that you wouldn't have expected that way. But it's also a lot more relaxed, I think, than stressing over, will we get here on time? Will we get there? Anyway, so we go to Akihabara, and sure enough, we get there like an hour before it opens. All the shops open. So that was a bad planning. But it turns out it's actually a very interesting place because since computer nerds tend to not be very socially skilled, especially when they're Japanese, not to perpetuate a stereotype. They end up picking up certain eccentricities and taste and things like that. So it's actually really the like anime and manga and capital of the world.
Sure. Also lots of arcades and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Arcades in Japan. They didn't go away. They only got better.
Awesome. That's almost a reason to go to Japan alone.
Oh, you don't even know. Oh, man.
So if Japan, if you would like to sponsor... We'll send you tourist dollars. We'll get our 11 listeners to take a trip to Japan. And
So
we love you, Japan.
Woo! Oh, Electric City or Electric Town.
Yes, Akihabara. Say that with me at home, please. Akihabara. Okay.
We can learn some Japanese.
Akihabara.
Habara.
Yeah, good enough.
Good enough.
You're good enough, Craig.
Yeah. We know you can't do any better than that.
I've been told my accent's still pretty bad in English, so that's something I'm working on. But anyway, so the really interesting thing about this place is you go around and it's just, you know, blocks after blocks of, you know, manga shops and anime shops and porn shops and arcades. And we made an interesting discovery while we were there. There's something called a maid cafe. Now, are you familiar with maid cafes, Craig?
Maid cafe,
M-A-I-D.
M-A-I-D cafe.
Mm-mm. So we first noticed them when, you know, the shop started opening up. We started seeing these girls dressed up like French maids on the streets handing out flyers. And we're like, I got to get my picture taken with these girls. But I was a little shy.
Because clearly they're cosplayers.
That's exactly what they are. There's not as much cosplaying as you would expect actually on the streets because, you know, Japan is not an anime convention, contrary to people believe.
But no, you need to go to, what is it,
Harajuku
to see all the crazy, the really crazy costumes.
Oh, Harajuku. Oh my goodness. That place is so weird.
You went to Harajuku?
Yes.
It's Mike's looking at us like, it's like a district
Yes.
or it's a part of, is it Tokyo or some city?
Yeah, it's Tokyo.
That is this really hip community or, you know, kind of developed and it gained the reputation for like people that, younger people mostly who mm-hmm. would like make their own clothing and props and do, you know, kind of bizarre makeup things. And they would go down there and it was a place to see and be seen. And so it's like from what I've seen, it's like walking into like a cosplay convention, but it doesn't have nothing looks like something from a TV show or movie or anime or whatever.
Unique.
It's all everything. Everybody's striving to be as unique as possible.
If you've seen pictures of Japanese girls with dark brown skin and super pale makeup and really bizarre fashion clothes.
And lots of pinks and stripes and...
Just off the wall.
They're known as Harajuku girls. Yeah. So
it's named after that. And yeah, it's
really cool.
Look it up on the interwebs, kids.
And a lot of them right now, or at least when we were there, a lot of the shops were selling what looked like ridiculous 80s fashions, like like in the realm of Pretty in Pink, where Andy makes her own dress and it's all ridiculously weird angles and oversized shirts,
a lot of neon,
not as much neon, much more in the pastels and lace and flower prints, and so it's all really weird things that don't look like they should be popular clothes. Everybody was wearing them, and you know, like little Ked sneakers with ankle socks with laces and stuff like that. It's weird stuff. And they've all got their hair all like dyed different colors and really, really thick eye makeup.
Standing up on one side and the other side it's down and or there's a design that's been painted into it or...
Yeah, there wasn't as much of that we saw, okay. But they were a lot of like really striving to be like ultra cutesy, but with like super dark eye makeup and stuff like that. It was really weird.
So back to the maids.
Maid cafe.
Yes, maid cafe.
So this immediately caught my attention for several obvious reasons. And so we're like, well, we have to go to one of these cafes. And sure enough, these girls will, you know, talk to you and try, oh, hey, why don't you come to the cafe? And they'll walk guys to the cafe because these are a lot of these guys, you know, lonely nerds and things like that. So, oh, this cute girl's talking to me. So we go to one for lunch and they do their best. Like Japanese people are taught English, sometimes as early as elementary, often middle school, but it's really reading and writing more than speaking. So a lot of them are very shy about speaking English. And so these maids, you got to give them credit. They were really doing their best to help us out because I only spoke the smallest amounts of Japanese when we first went there. But, you know, you walk in and the very first thing they say to you in Japanese, the American equivalent is, you know, welcome home, master, you know, kind of a thing. And then they'll sit you down and they'll dote over you. And then, you know, they'll take their drink and, you know, they'll play like simple little games with you, like Hungry, Hungry Hippos or whatnot. Or, you know, and if you beat them, you get a prize and they'll clap their hands like, yay, you know, all together. And you can have your picture. You can't take pictures of them, but you can have your picture taken with them if you pay a charge, you know, and then they'll draw little hearts over the pictures and things like that.
And they do magic to make the food taste better.
Yeah, you've probably seen the Japanese heart thing where you put your left hand together and right hand together so it forms the shape of a heart.
Right.
They'll do that over your drink and then like break the heart open and be like, moe, moe, kyun, you know, I've got the magic to make it taste good. You know, the Japanese equivalent of things like that, you know.
Oh, okay.
And I have to say it's quite awesome. Having cute Japanese girls dote over you is quite the experience. So, you know, and I've heard a lot of people that know about the maid cafes before, you know, I came back and I talked about them, like, oh, maid cafes, those are terrible. Oh, it's so bad. They're exploiting women and things. But it's really not like that at all. If people are aware of them, they tend to have that misperception. They think it's something like a strip club or Hooters or, you know, something like that. And it's, yeah, they are kind of exploiting, I guess, lonely guys. But, you know, especially the second time when we went back, you know, we saw, you know, old ladies would go to the maid cafes and people would take their families. And it's really become quite a normal thing over there. So at least in Akihabara and, you know, similar districts and whatnot. So
I imagine they get tipped well.
There is no tipping in Japan. That's one thing I had a really hard time getting over.
Okay, now it doesn't make any sense
to
me.
Totally ready to move to Japan.
No, they'll get offended if you try to tip them because they're like, I'm doing my job. I'm being paid to do my job. Why do you think I don't do my job well enough to where I don't get paid enough money to live? You know, it's an insult. If you must tip a Japanese person, you absolutely just have a compulsion to do it. You're supposed to do it in a subtle manner, like put it in an envelope and hand it to them discreetly. And they'll feel uncomfortable, but out of politeness, they'll take it. And
as opposed to here where you have to tip everybody now, or at least they're trying to tell you that.
Yeah. And if you have really bad service, you still have to tip them 10%.
Yeah.
Like that's the insult. I'm only giving you 10% because you suck.
Yeah. Even though you were absolutely terrible. Or Christmas time rolls around, holiday time, whatever. And I've seen the list of like all the people you're supposed to, you know, the people who provide you services and do things throughout the year
that
you're supposed to tip.
I don't do that. My poor mailman.
Does anybody tip? Do you even know your mailman at this age?
No. Okay. I mean, it's usually the same guy. There's another guy that comes by that's like whenever he's on vacation or whatever, and then it's this other guy, but usually it's this one guy. And who, oddly enough, is Asian. I'm not sure. I don't know if he's Japanese or whatever, but I can tell he's Asian. But I mean, I've passed him on the street when he's been coming out of the neighborhood and I'm coming home from work, you know, I'll wave at him. But no, I've never left him, you know.
You don't leave a present for your mailman at Christmas time?
No,
what
little
kind of savage are you?
Little bottle of booze or what are you supposed to give them? I don't even know.
I should try to dig it up sometime. I remember seeing this past December, there was a list of all the different people in your life that you should give some sort of a gift or tip or whatever to.
My mom
and it
used
ranged
to leave.
From like mailmen and all that kind of stuff, but it went, you know, it hit on like everybody that you might hire, you know, like if you have somebody that comes to do your lawn, if you have somebody that comes to take care of your dog, if you have somebody that comes to babysit your kid, but
those people, all of them overcharge so much they don't get anything extra.
You know, and if you're in an apartment, it's the landlord, you know, the building manager themselves plus the maintenance guy plus.
Have you ever done that?
No. Actually, to be honest, given the experience that I've had at my apartment, which is different than the experience you had, Mike, when you lived at that apartment long ago, I should probably tip my maintenance guy because every single time I've had a maintenance problem in my apartment, it has been fixed that day.
Wow, that's unheard of.
Every single time. Now it doesn't, and it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah,
about once or twice a year, I have something.
Mechanic. I used to make cookies for my mechanic, just because you know, then you build a relationship with the mechanic. They don't try and overcharge you for things that you don't need. But I don't.
Well,
really
you're
do
talking
that.
Big money there. I mean,
well,
when
yeah.
it's
yeah, it's not like the mailman.
No,
I suppose it might be different if I, you know, like with your mailman, if you had like something of a relationship with them, like if you were friendly, you chatted occasionally,
right.
You might. Then it's more like giving a gift.
You never even probably
you're giving a holiday or Christmas or whatever gift to somebody.
You never even see your letter carrier. Because your stuff gets delivered on the other side of the property.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I occasionally see them because they do tend to come late in the day. So once in a while, if I'm getting home early from work and I go to check the mail, then I might bump into them.
Right.
That's about. So the chances that I could have like an actual relationship of, you know, an acquaintance with my mail carrier is like
out here.
So slim.
Yeah. Out here in the burbs, we have, we're technically this is the county. And so we have to provide our own or set up our own garbage service.
Oh,
the city doesn't take care of it out here. So there's, you know, any number of 24 different companies you can call. Mm-hmm. And ours puts on the bill, they put three little line items underneath, like, you know, write in the amount you're paying here. I don't know why I have to write, you know.
Wow.
It's printed there. And then right next to it, it says write in how much you're paying. And like, just look at the
all
check.
All sorts of bills do that where they ask you to tell
But right them. Underneath that, there's three line items. And it's tip your driver. Tip your driver's assistant, just the guy that rides in the back of the truck, and then tip your recycle driver.
Wow. That's a lot.
I did it the first year for the December payment, because we're on every 3 months.
Yeah.
And so I did the December payment for Christmas, and I gave them a decent tip, and I said, that's it.
Yeah.
You get it once, and that's all you get.
Hmm.
So the lesson here is if you want good arcades and don't want to tip people unnecessarily, move to the opposite side of the planet.
And start learning the language.
And start learning the language, yeah.
It only takes about 10,000 hours to get okay at it. You know, most skills, I say 10,000 hours to
become an expert, yeah.
With Japanese, it's about 10,000 just to get passable. So there's just so much to learn compared to, you know, what we learn with other languages. So another interesting thing that we did, it was actually the second time, was are you familiar with the concept of a cat cafe?
How many different kinds of cafes do they have?
All kinds.
Wait. Cafes. Are they dressed up like cats?
That's a different kind of a cafe. They also have something that we saw this last time that was new, is what they call an OL cafe, which OL, if you're Japanese, you know, means office lady. So they have these girls dressed up in, you know, pantsuits and things out on the street, handing out flyers, trying to talk guys into going to their cafe where they can have an office lady experience.
For the guy that prefers to have the conservative, mildly sexual experience.
But the cat cafe was awesome. It's a really nice for people who live in apartments in Japan and can't have animals or whatnot. They go to a place where there's a bajillion cats and you pay to spend an hour with the cats. And
you get a juice or a drink as well.
Yes, you also have to buy a drink.
So
it's so much fun to play with the kitties.
It's rent a cat with a drink minimum.
Yes.
Yeah.
And exactly. A cover charge.
Yes. Absolutely.
But you never have to clean their litter box.
Right.
And you never have to go looking to see if they've hidden something somewhere or if they've left a present for you somewhere.
Oh, you still
you don't have to deal with them when they're sick.
You still have to watch out for these things because there was literally in a room probably about four or five times the size of this one, there were probably, 70 cats or so?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's like going over to the crazy cat lady's house.
Exactly. Yeah, because it was house themed and all the books on the shelves were cats and on the TV was a TV show about cats.
This place smells of urine.
It did. It smelled really bad, but it was fun.
I'll give you guys some pictures from the cat cafe and a picture I took of the fan they have blowing and an uncountable amount of cat hairs stuck within the fan.
I was just going to say, did it look like, so the fan blades were furry?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So the picture doesn't do it justice. It's the only sad thing.
For me, being someone who is allergic to cats,
you would die.
It's a death trap.
Yes. Yes. Don't step in there.
But I don't have to go there.
Exactly.
See? So I still want to go to Japan because the cat death traps are optional.
Yeah.
The monkey butler is optional as well. We didn't get to see that.
What? Hold on. Sorry.
Monkey waiter. Yes.
Monkey butlers. Now that's a little more interesting, but I'm intrigued by monkey waiter.
I'm sorry, it is technically monkey waiter. I just like to say monkey butler.
Yeah, in a little suit.
There's a pub somewhere north of Tokyo, and we really wanted to go. We'd seen videos online of they have two, I think they're capuchin monkeys, that they don't wear a suit, but they do wear clothes. And sometimes
that's good enough.
Sometimes a scary, like, little kid mask. I don't know why they're Japanese.
It's a no mask.
Yeah, okay. And they deliver your water. They walk up to the tray with a tray and a glass of water on it, and they will bring you your water.
I'm going to Japan next week.
So, you know, we said Japan's pretty normal and nothing strange really goes on there.
Just to fool you.
Okay, well, we're going to touch on another nerdy topic real quick. Emily.
Yes?
That is the nerdy topic just by itself.
We're just going to talk about you, Emily.
Yes!
You're a knitter?
I am.
A knitter?
I do. I am well-versed in the yarn arts.
Would those be the yarts?
Yarnology?
The yarns?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is there an ology associated with knitting? The study of knitting?
I don't know.
Or the study of string?
There's textiles.
String theory? String theory. Oh.
There, you can get degrees in textiles, and I think knitting is involved, but I don't know about
that. Can I do a shout out real quick?
What?
EatSleepKnit.com.
I work at Eat Sleep Knit. It's a yarn store. It's excellent hand-dyed and hand-painted yarns, luxury fibers. Oh, it's so soft.
Fancy yarn.
Oh, yeah, fancy yarn.
She gets paid to roll around in soft yarn all day.
Now, if you just throw a bucket of kittens in there.
It's the best.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, for me, again, death trap.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, not with kittens, I guess. I've been told that their dander is low, and I've been told Andy made a comment to me, like after we were at the podcast, we were off in another thing, and he brought up a cat, having cats and everything. He said, I don't know if this is true, cat owners. If you get a kit, if you're allergic to cats, as long as you're not terribly allergic. And I'm only mildly allergic. If you get a kitten,
yeah,
you will acclimate to the kitten, and exactly. you will never be allergic to that cat.
Yeah.
Huh.
I've heard that from other pet owners.
Okay. So anyway, yarn.
Yeah, yarn's fun.
And you knit useful, normal, regular yarn things, but you also...
I do. I make ridiculous things as well. I had a friend ask me to make the ship Serenity from... the show Firefly, and of course the movie Serenity, and
why can't you take it to your knitting group?
I can't take it to a knitting group because it looks like a wang. It's a little dirty. A little inappropriate.
Everybody who knows Firefly or Serenity, think about look at the Serenity ship from above.
Yeah,
and it's kind of got the two big bulbous things on the side and
a little chef.
Oh my!
There you go.
Yes. Takei approved. But it is really fun. I make a lot of scarves and sweaters and socks and whatnot and keep myself kitted out in wintertime. What?
Doctor
Who. Oh, I've made Doctor Who washcloths for a gift exchange I did on the internet the other day. So they're all like little TARDIS and Daleks. Pretty fun.
Gonna wash yourself with the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Now, does a TARDIS washcloth hold a lot more water than one would think that it would probably hold?
Obviously. What are you thinking? Of course. Buckets. It does.
And the Daleks, of course.
Exfoliate.
There's your episode title, Daleks Exfoliate.
I wish I could say I came up with that myself.
That's okay. None of us heard it before.
These are the kind of knitting jokes you have to deal with. Yeah.
Have you forayed into other things other than knitting, or is that really kind of...
Actually,
macrame?
I haven't ever done macrame. I did learn a little bit of needlepoint when I was a little kid. I've tried to learn to crochet, but apparently my brain is not wired that way. I can't figure that out. It's almost exactly the same kind of thing. And to most people, crochet is even easier than knitting. But for some reason, I would rather knit than deal with crochet.
There's a little lobe in your piece of your brain somewhere that when you were a child, when you got bonked on the head, it destroyed that part. And that was the part that was reserved for crochet.
It was. Yeah. I'm just...
And someday scientists will learn how to regrow that part of the brain for you.
Yes. I can't wait till science catches up with me.
Because we don't have enough crocheters.
No, we definitely don't.
So, Craig, you're a big zombie fan, correct?
No. Okay, yeah. Big time. Just I watch a lot of zombie stuff.
What happened?
So have you seen the zombie-related knitting patterns?
Oh, yeah, little knitted zombies?
Yeah.
With like little pieces of red yarn coming out of them and things. Awesome.
They're cool. There's a girl online that used to make all kinds of amazing little dolls. Like, she would make all kinds from like different horror movies and like Day of the Dead and Shaun of the Dead and Freddy Krueger and all kinds of amazing things. And sometimes she would sell them for like multiple $100s.
Well, Freddy Krueger's almost a no brainer for knitting because he wears a knit, you know, a striped knit sweater.
It's true. Yeah. So that's always fun to look up crazy knitting patterns. There's like a knitted brain somewhere in the internet that is just all kinds, like it's a super long string that they have like condensed down so that it actually looks as whatever you say, that the pieces of the brain, it's how
all the folds.
Yeah, folds. That's the word I'm looking for. So it's really cool looking.
Does it have the crocheting part?
I don't know.
Built in there? But I mean, given that it's a knitted brain, I would imagine it probably doesn't have crochet or macrame or anything like that.
It just doesn't have any room for any of that other crafts. It's very exclusive.
I'm still waiting for Emily to knit me an N-dimensional hypercardigan.
Yeah, I haven't figured that one out yet.
A what?
An N-dimensional hypercardigan for all you theoretical physicists out there and slash knitters.
Okay, so what's that supposed to be?
It's a joke from a webcomic that was really nerdy.
Okay.
It was really funny.
N-dimensional hypercardigan.
Yeah, you know.
All right. Now he's going to want to look that up. We're going to have to find out what's the webcomic called? Do you remember?
Oh, shit. I don't remember. It's been a long time ago.
Might not even be out there anymore. Who knows?
Yeah. And I'm also...
Contrary to popular belief, sometimes people do take things off of the internet.
Yeah, but then you just get on the Wayback Machine and you just grab them.
Somebody was stealing patterns the other day.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well.
We've got another felon on the show.
Some knitters will post patterns and then decide they want to charge for them and then take them off the free sites. But there's the
Wayback
Machine.
That's not what happened with this. She had them available on the internet and then somebody was selling things that they made with her patterns and she didn't like that. And so she, in protest, made the patterns unavailable, but they're there on the Internet Wayback Machine because they're free patterns, and so I just went and found them. Sorry. That's how it works.
Internet knitter politics.
Who would have known?
Oh, yeah. You don't even want to get into that. Old ladies and yarn are insane. They are totally crazy.
Okay.
Just ridiculous. And they're very catty. I mean, and I don't mean like they're cat. They like cats. Oh. I mean, they're like.
I was going to go that direction. But.
Yeah, but they are. Sure. They are. They do love cats.
I learned that watching the episode of. Do you see Modern Family? When they all go to Florida, the last one.
Yep.
When that was really funny.
Cam is out hanging out with all the old ladies.
Instigating.
Instigating. Yes. One of them's cheating. At Mahjong, and one of them is stealing
in her pocket,
things.
The other one's stealing cookies.
Yeah.
The other one's a whore. And they all talk about her.
Mm-hmm.
Old ladies.
Pretty great.
And you could have just written that part. That could have just been, you know, Cam was basically an old lady.
Oh, yeah.
He was the instigating old lady in that. Mm-hmm. They could have just pulled him out and put, you know, Estelle Getty from the Golden Girls in there.
I miss Estelle Getty. She was awesome.
The whole world misses Estelle Getty.
I know.
Hey, did you hear about, now that we've gone random, did you hear about B. Arthur's painting?
What?
Somebody painted...
For a second there, I thought you were going to say, have you heard about B. Arthur's penis?
No. Somebody painted...
That's a running joke back in the old...
Somebody painted a picture of
those old comedy
B.
roasts.
Arthur topless.
Okay.
And it was a long time ago, because it's like Maude era B. Arthur.
Sure.
And
when she only looked 60 instead of 90.
Correct. Just a little bit of gray on the temples.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's this, and it's not, I think they just made it up. Like whoever painted it,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have her actually topless posing. They just imagined what it looked like, what they looked like. And recently, within the last week or two, somebody bought it at auction for $1.9 million. Well, it was revealed yesterday or the day before that person was Jimmy Kimmel. And he gifted it to Jeffrey Ross as part of a bet or something.
Okay, that's not unsurprising.
So they tweeted a picture
of
Jeffrey Ross with this painting.
Wow. Well, Jeffrey Ross, do you know who that is?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay, comedian. He does a lot of the roasts.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's, you know, B. Arthur is Yeah, B. Arthur's dead now. The only one that's still around, I think, is Betty White. Yeah.
Correct.
But that was the joke in some of the old roasts, like pre the ones that they do on Comedy Central and everything now, was because B. Arthur was kind of mannish. Yes.
What? I don't know where you got this.
But the joke that would come out was, you know, they'd be roasting a woman and they would say, I wouldn't fuck you with B. Arthur's penis.
Yeah. Wow. They do that in every one of those.
Yeah, they still that's still a thing.
The ones that are on Comedy Central, they always do that joke. As every single one I've seen has had that joke.
So they haven't come up with new jokes, is what you're saying.
No.
Someday we're going to be like that. We're going to have it's going to be the same shtick over and over.
I mean, we're not that way already?
But not quite yet. Well, there's the whole...
That's what she said!
Yeah, there's that thing. You just have a thing for. Anyway, there we go. And on that note, I think we'll wrap things up here. That's not a closing theme song. I mean, I like the song, but it's not a closing theme song. Okay. Is it time to go?
It can't. Yeah.
All right. Dave and Emily, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
It was a lot of fun.
So you'll, as long as you don't just often run away to Japan, you maybe come back on again sometime?
Sure.
There's always Skype.
Where do you live?
No, if they were to move to Japan, we could Skype him in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You paying attention to your own show there?
Not right now.
Do we have your focus?
Nerdburger, the most professional podcast on the internet. That phrase was coined by Josh. Or the classiest podcast. The classiest. That's what he said. So where can they find us?
Nerdburgershow.com, at Nerdburgershow on the Twitters, and Nerdburgershow Facebook.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, we'll have 3 guests. And then on the one after that, we'll have 4 guests. And then we'll have 5 guests. And then we'll have 6 guests. And then Mike will buy a new house.
Stop the
and
madness.
And then we'll have 9 guests. And then we'll have 11 guests. And pretty soon we'll have all of our listeners on the show. That's it for this week, though.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I've been informed that I have bad mic skills, so I'd like to apologize to the people at home. I don't understand directional mics. I don't have a degree in communication like Emily.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm so overeducated that I know how to direct you in your microphone usage.
I wouldn't say you know how to direct me.
Oh.
Fight, 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 fight.
And that was for all the viewers at home.
All the viewers, really?
Yeah, I shadow punched him. Just so you know, since you can't see.